This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky here, Charlie Usen, other side of the glass. Thanks again to Mike Wall, former Packers offensive lineman, for joining us from Germany. Back in the first hour of the show, we explore all the different options, right? Trey Hendrickson, Davante Adams, DK Metcalf. Offensive line issues to bring back Josh Myers, not bring back Josh Myers at the center position. All of that you can be found up on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, or by simply going to thefanmilwaukee.com. Joining us now to talk some Brewers baseball, talk some fantasy baseball, he is Eric Cross, lead MLB writer at Roto Baller. Follow him on Twitter at Eric Cross MLB. Eric, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Okay, so I have lots to get to. First, I want to just talk about the Brewers a little bit, because not everybody are big fantasy baseball dorks, so I want to get into the Brewers a little bit to start here. Your thoughts on what this Brewers rotation looked like before, and what it looks like now after the addition of Jose Quintana?
Yeah, so the Brewers rotation, I think, could be pretty solid here this season, especially if you can get Brandon Woodruff to bounce back to, you know, at least somewhat close to the arm that he was. I mean, that duo at the top with Peralta, with Woodruff, assuming Woodruff is, you know, even close to what he was. I mean, I don't think you even need him to be the Woodruff of old, but you can at least get somewhat close to that. I think that's, you know, one of the better 1-2s in baseball. And you've had guys like Tobias Myers kind of, you know, not break out, so to speak, but kind of fill the rest of a role in that rotation here. So, you know, I think that's going to be, you know, one of the better rotations, or could be potentially one of the better rotations in the National League, and definitely in that National League Central Division if Woodruff can bounce back. I think that's the real X factor here, is what you get from Woodruff. If it's nothing close to the Woodruff of old, then maybe it's a little bit of a concern as to who could step up, you know, in a postseason series, you know, behind Freddy Peralta. But if you can get close to that Woodruff, he's the X factor. I think that could be a pretty good rotation if you're getting 80+% of the old Woodruff.
I'm a fantasy nerd when it comes to getting ready for a draft, so I do mock drafts constantly, trying to figure out what we're going to do or what my team is going to do. And I am really surprised by how far down McGill is, the closer for the Brewers, in a lot of these mock drafts that I'm doing. I mean, he's down there with the closer of the Pirates, for God's sakes, and this Brewers team better be better than the Pirates this year.
Yeah, they absolutely should, and I like McGill a lot, too. I think a little bit of it is because, you know, he's not, I mean, he hasn't really been, like, a big name.
Right.
And, you know, he kind of broke onto the scene more so last year in that role. So, hey, take that and use that to your advantage here. And I think he could be, you know, maybe a borderline top 10, you know, closer for fantasy purposes this year. I mean, Milwaukee's, you know, there's no real other threat to the role, I think, unless he completely falls off production-wise. Then maybe you see, obviously, a move being made. But I think that's his role to lose. I think he's going to get a lot of save opportunities. I think Milwaukee, you know, could be like, you know, like a 90-win team or something like that. So, yeah, I think McGill is a really solid option in drafts.
Eric Cross, lead MLB writer for Roto Baller. Follow them at Roto Baller. And, of course, follow Eric on Twitter at Eric Cross MLB. Let's talk about some of these Brewers players that are going higher in drafts. The top guy, obviously, is Jackson Chourio after his rookie season. Now, I'm going to be drafting with a bunch of people here locally tonight, mostly all Brewers fans, so I'm not going to put any stock into where he gets drafted tonight, but overall, where should Chourio be going and where has he been going?
Yeah, you guys might have like a steel cage match to see who gets Jackson Chourio in your draft. But
Shohei Ohtani and what? Nah, we're going to go Chourio. Screw Ohtani. No, go
ahead. Yeah, who needs Ohtani?
Who needs Ohtani? Right.
But yeah, Chourio obviously is an incredible talent. He's been someone I've been following for a while because I do a lot of work, you know, in minor league baseball as well and in ranking prospects. So he's someone that's obviously been on the scene here for a few years, and his value has just been rising every single year. And it's not surprising that he had that, you know, type of rookie year that he had, kind of vaulted him up to being, you know, a top 25 pick this year. I mean, I've seen a lot of drafts, him going anywhere from like the 15, 16, 17 range. You know, he doesn't really slip past 23, 24, 25 very often. So kind of in that 20 range, give or take. So he's going to be your, you know, probably your second guy, maybe your third guy if he slips a little bit. But I think it's absolutely valid. I mean, he's always taken like a little bit of time to get going at every level. But once he finds his stride, it's super exciting. Obviously, he can hit for power, makes contact. He's a phenomenal athlete. And if anybody was going to be, you know, have that next big breakout to be, you know, up on the, you know, Acuna levels, the Tatis levels, the Rodriguez levels like that, I mean, Chourio has, you know, all the upside in the world. So yeah, he's a really, really fun one to watch, and he's, you know, worthy of a top 25 draft pick.
I'll tell you something else that I'm kind of been debating in my head as I've been doing these mock drafts, and that is the catcher position. In fantasy baseball right now, I understand William Contreras is at the top of the heap, and he's a Brewers catcher and all that fun stuff. But, I mean, if you take like a guy like Salvador Perez, let's say, I mean, you can get him several rounds later based on these mock drafts from where Contreras is, and the numbers may be not all that much different.
Yeah, no, the catcher position is always pretty interesting, and really comes down to, now, are you in a league that only starts one catcher or two? Because obviously the value of these catchers changes a lot in two-catcher formats, and they get pushed way up draft boards. Now, I love William Contreras. I think he's the best offensive catcher in baseball. I mean, he hits for power. He can steal a few bags. He has good contact rates, doesn't strike out too much. But, yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, I think most people listening that play, most people probably are in a league that only starts one catcher. So you can afford to not have to go after one of the big names, and still get you mentioned Salvador Perez is a perfect example where he's, you know, he can give you 30 home runs and 250, 260 average.
Yep.
And maybe Contreras hits for a higher average, but he's probably going to have maybe 5, 6, 7 fewer home runs at the same time. So it kind of evens out, and I would still take Contreras first, but to your point, given the difference in the price tag, like, all right, I can get this guy that's maybe 90 to 95%. But I can get them for, you know, 50, 60 picks later. So yeah, that's definitely, you know, a good thing, a good point with catchers. You can wait a little bit and still get some good value.
Yeah, I had Perez last year. I absolutely love Salvador Perez. So talking with Eric Cross, lead MLB writer for Roto Baller. Follow him on Twitter at Eric Cross MLB. Joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Okay, let's talk about another Brewer player who I think there's some conflict with. I think from a Brewers fan perspective, everybody knows if he's right and can actually stay healthy, that is a gigantic X factor for this Brewers team. And then there's the fantasy perspective. Again, dealing with a bunch of Brewer fans tonight will not be the same as it is around the rest of the country. Feelings that you have and others may have on what to do and where to go with Christian Yelich.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Christian Yelich, he's one that's always a little difficult for me because, you know, he's had the injury issues over the years, but whenever he's been out there, obviously, he's been one of the better, you know, outfielders in baseball. And you know, to his credit, you know, maybe he missed a little bit of time last year, obviously, but before that, he was staying on the field pretty consistently. The 2 years before that, he had over 600 plate appearances. You know, he's still giving you 20-plus steals every year. He's still giving you a good average, good OBP. You know, maybe the power isn't quite what it was, you know, back in his MVP caliber days when he was duking it out with Cody Bellinger, but he's still giving you, you know, that good across the board production. And at this point now, like, he doesn't cost you that super high price tag, right? Like, he's going outside the top 100, you know, in that one, I think that 125 or so range on average right now, where he's probably, you know, your eighth, ninth, tenth player overall, maybe your third outfielder or something like that. So as long as, you know, he can stay healthy, you know, the per game production is still very good, and I think he could be a pretty good value this year.
All right, let's talk about one other player on the Brewers that's probably the only other guy that's probably draftable, you know, somewhere early to middle on, more middle on probably than anything, and that's Freddie Peralta at the front of this rotation. He's going to be their opening day starter. As we said, he's the only starting pitcher I see get drafted regularly in this thing. But where does he go?
Yeah, I think Peralta, he's kind of a guy you draft if you wait a little bit to get your first pitcher. He's kind of like that end of the guys you feel okay about having as your first pitcher, and then someone you like a lot having as your number two guy. So, you know, the price tag isn't as high. It's kind of dropped a little bit this year. You know, he's more like back end, top 100 overall from what I've seen. But you know what you're getting from Freddie. Yeah, he's been pretty consistent. You know, doesn't give you the elite, like, sub-3 ERA. But he's given you, you know, a 3.5 ERA, plenty of strikeouts. And, you know, you kind of don't have to worry. There's not a lot of risk factor with Freddie because he's been pretty consistent throughout his career and has been able to stay on the mound for the most part without any, you know, prolonged IL stints that you have to worry about. So, yeah, Peralta, I've always been a pretty big Freddie Peralta guy. I usually have, you know, one or two shares of him every year just because, you know, he gets you so many strikeouts. Even if the strikeout rate did dip a little bit recently, it's still very, very good and, you know, in like the top 10% of pitchers in baseball. So, yeah, he's another one that's a pretty good value this year on that Milwaukee team.
Eric, let's go a red flag guy or two and then a sleeper or two. Let's go red flag guy or two first.
Yeah, so my first red flag guy, Luis Robert with the Chicago White Sox. I mean, I love the talent, and you saw that one season from him when he was like 38 home runs and 20 steals, I believe it was. But outside of that, the production has been, you know, when he's on the field, has been way up and down, and just staying on the field has been a pretty big concern with him. I mean, he could, you know, make me look wrong and, you know, stay on the field this entire season, and maybe he has a chip on his shoulder from last year. And he has the talent to put up a big season, but these guys where it's just you can't bank on them being on the field. Like, same thing with Jacob DeGrom. We all know when Jacob DeGrom's on, like, he might be, probably is the best pitcher on the entire planet, and we've seen that, but you can't, you know, count on him for even 10 starts, let alone 20 to 30. So as talented as guys like Luis Robert and Jacob DeGrom are, I'm kind of, you know, avoiding them unless they fall a lot in my drafts, which, given the talent and the hype that they have, usually doesn't happen. So, yeah, those are two guys, two red flag guys I'm avoiding this year.
All right, give me a couple sleepers, whether there be young guys that are going to be just breaking into Major League Baseball that guys may not know about, or some vets that maybe you see an improvement in. Where are you going?
I'll go a Milwaukee guy to start, and Garrett Mitchell. I love Garrett Mitchell a lot. There are some concerns with him. I mean, he's had some injury issues himself. And strikeout rate's a little bit too high, and, you know, contact rate's a little bit too low. So those are issues that I would love to see him improve upon this year. But he hits the ball hard. He can steal bags. He draws walks. And he's a phenomenal defender, which will help keep him in that Milwaukee lineup, just given the value he brings defensively. You know, it'll help keep him in that lineup, even when he might be struggling a little bit offensively. So the fact that he's going so late in your drafts, he'd be like, you know, for most people listening, a last round kind of flyer type of guy with the upside he has. But if it works out, he's a guy that can provide a pretty substantial return on investment. And the other guy I wanted to mention was you know, Junior Caminero, he's not really a sleeper, but I think he's going to break out. Assuming the injury he kind of suffered the other day isn't too serious, there's so much power with Junior Caminero. It gives me, you know, a lot of like Austin Riley vibes where it could be like 35 home runs. Like he's always, even back when he was, you know, an 18-year-old prospect with the Cleveland Guardians before he traded to Tampa Bay, he's always been like very, very impressive at every level with his power. And yeah, he's going kind of like around pick 80, 85. That third base position is very, very deep, so, and he's right in the middle of it, so there's a lot of good options there this year. But, you know, if you're looking for a guy that could really kind of jump and, you know, be drafted 4 or 5 rounds higher next year than he was this year, Caminero could be that guy. If he's got 30-plus home runs, yeah, you're going to see that draft slot go way up next year.
Okay, you triggered another question by saying that Ramirez with the Guardians is slated to go high, like top 5, top 6 in a lot of these places, but he's had his injury issues and so forth. What say you on him and how early?
I'm fine taking Ramirez. I used to be a little bit of a Ramirez doubter, but you know, after year, he just gives you elite production, especially giving all that speed he provides from that third base spot, which you usually don't get a lot of speed from. I mean, I'm totally fine taking him, you know, anywhere after, like, you know, I'm taking Bobby Witt ahead of him. I'm taking Shohei Ohtani ahead of him and Aaron Judge. And then you got getting that next tier with Gunnar Henderson, Ellie De La Cruz.
What about Soto?
I think Jose. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Soto, too. Yeah. Soto's right there in that tier as well. And then you got Jose Ramirez. So he's kind of in that second tier of hitters, so I have no issue taking him as high as 4, really. I mean, it's just such good power speed, and he's been so consistent, it's like I'm not going to count him out ever until he actually falls off production-wise.
There he is, Eric Cross, lead MLB writer at RotoBaller, Twitter at Eric Cross MLB, and you do a couple podcasts as well. Eric, go ahead and promote away.
Yeah, no, I got the Red Seat podcast, which is a Red Sox podcast.
Nobody wants to listen to that here. What else do you have?
My fantasy baseball podcast is the Tool Shed.
Yeah, the Tool Shed. That's a good one. I've heard that one. That's a good one. I've been trying to get a hold of you for a while, man. You're not easy to get a hold of, but we finally made this work. I'm glad we were able to make it work because you're really good. I appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate you having me. Thanks.